When he came for Hajj, I did this part in Medina, I'll just read that for those who missed out. When he came for Hajj, for the very first time, look, he made Umrah previously, I'll touch on that just now, inshallah, in my talk, right? But now you're going on that part. When he came for Hajj, the bulk and the vast majority of the Muslims that joined him for Hajj exceeded 124,000. If you make a calculation, how many people joined Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in visiting Baytullah? Only 2,000. How 2,000? After the battle of the trench, Khandaq, end of 5, we enter 6. At the end of 6, towards the end of the month of Shawwal, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a dream. Now, keep in mind, Badr took place, Uhud took place, Trench took place, Khandaq. Three wars, one after the other. Each one worse than the previous one. The onslaught against Islam was getting more serious, more intense. In the last war, the Quraysh came with an army with a combined force of the two figures, 10,000, 24,000. And these extras that they brought, they were invited from all over Arabia. In other words, they made an all-out attack. Islam must be finished, wiped out, finished. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed otherwise. Anyway, that war ended because Allah sent one heavy cyclone and the whole thing was abandoned. At the end of the following year, exactly 12 months later, Allah sees a dream in the month of Shawwal that he and a group of Sahaba have entered Makkah, all are in Ihram, they have made Tawaf of Baytullah, they made Safa Marwa Sa'i, and at the end of the exercise, some of them shaved their head and some of them shortened their hair. This is the dream that he saw. When he shared his experience with the Sahaba, immediately everyone across the board without exception, all of them are telling him, Allah's Nabi, you saw the dream, surely you understand, it's Allah's command. Now how can a dream be Allah's command? That's the question. How did they take that the... Hey, I don't assume too much. How's the PIT? What is it that gave them the impression? Yeah. What is it that gave them the impression that Nabi's dream, our Nabi's dream is the command of Allah? They learned from that surah which Allah sent in Makkah, Mr. Parak. After Yasin, what surah comes? Was-Saffat. In that Was-Saffat surah, Allah Ta'ala describes many Anbiya. And the most important discussion in that particular surah is the discussion revolving around the Qurbani of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah draws our attention to say, Ibrahim alayhi salam told his son, "Oh my son, I saw in my dream that I am running a knife over your throat. Think about it, tell me what you feel." And the son without hesitation declared, "Oh my father, do as you have been commanded, stop." Now a dream, and the child understood my father's dream is what? Allah's command. Now they learned this from Allah's Quran, the Sahaba. Allah's Nabi, now this surah came way in Makkah. Allah's Nabi is now in Medina Munawwara, right? And when he saw his dream about entering Baytullah, making tawaf, safa, sa'i, and shortening and shaving the hair, what did the Sahaba conclude? What was the basis, that surah? What was the basis, Ibrahim alayhi salam dream? And they understood, Nabi's dream is Allah's command. So all of them, they said, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since Allah has commanded us by your dream, then let us get ready and go. On the first of Zilqa'dah, Makra, what did I say? First of Zilqa'dah, 6 Hijri, 1,400 Sahaba in Ihram, many of them brought with them animals, are coming to visit Baytullah. Are they coming to Hajj? They're certainly not. They're coming to visit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house. Now at that time, when a person will come to visit Allah's house, whether he come for what we call Umrah or whether he come for Hajj, he used to bring sacrificial animals. Remember that. This was the condition. Now cut long story short, they come outside Makkah, the way is blocked. They sign a peace treaty, and they are told in the peace treaty, return home, come back only next year, and when you do come, we only allow you 3 days, 72 hours, in which time we would evacuate Makkah. You will have Makkah completely under your control for 3 days, you do what you like. After 3 days, evacuate the city and we'll return home. Now, these people, including Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the condition? They are in ihram, aren't they? Now, when the Nabi signed the treaty and agreed to go back, there was an uproar. People like Umar was going crazy, took out sword. He said, stop all these fellows. Allah's Nabi, did you see the dream? We came here to visit Allah's house, come what may we gonna go. Did you not see the dream? Allah's Nabi said, I did see the dream. And there was a lot of uneasiness. People were very upset. How could Allah's Nabi sign the treaty? And Allah allowed the motion, Nabi allowed the motion. Allah Nabi said, listen my dear Sahaba, what has happened is best. I signed the treaty, let's go home. Now he told them, my dear Sahaba, you know what? I want all of you now to take your blades and slaughter your, what? Animals and shave your hair or cut your hair. Open the books of Hadith, look at that particular scenario, what are you going to find? Not a single person got up. First time, open disobedience, so-called defiance. Was it deliberate, Mr. Farag? No, they were very upset. We came to Allah's house. We came to make ibadat. How can this happen? But what they're forgetting is Nabi's direct order. And we don't blame them. All are maaf and excused. All of them are excused. Now, if Allah's Nabi commands them second time, you know what that's going to be tantamount to? Come on, who can tell? Huh? No? Kufr? First time, TK. Second time, if they disobey, all of them, Islamabad, out to somewhere you end up, Kufristan. How's that language of mine? Out of Islamabad, way into Kufristan. And Allah's Nabi cannot allow that. He's worried. He came by his tent. Ya Umm Salma, what do I do? Mr. Farak, let me tell you again. We think women are thick. Allahu Akbar, they are very sharp. And there's one sabak here. They are absolutely sharp. Allah's Nabi asking his wife for advice, Ya Umm Salma, what must I do? They have refused to obey my direct order. Nobody wants to slaughter the animal or shave the hair. What do I do? Subhanallah. I take out my topi for that lady. Allah's Nabi, don't order them. You go to the pen where the animals are housed. You take your blade and you start your qurbani, and you go one side, and then you start shaving your own hair, and you will see Allah's Rasul all following. Subhanallah. What an advice, Makro. When he got up and he did that, you think they said that? Each and everyone got up and they went and did exactly what their Nabi did. But they were still upset. They were very angry. Allah's Nabi said, look my dear Sahaba, but did you not see the dream? Yes, I did. Then what happened? He said, did Allah give us dates and times? Takir? Allah showed us a scene. In that scene, he never showed us dates and times, did he? He says, don't worry. Now, as they're leaving, can I drink my tea? As they're leaving, Allah said in the Quran, and my friend, I urge you, please, I must thank Allah first. Allah has blessed me with Quran attachment. I thank Allah enough for that. And I want to share my Quranic knowledge, but I got no takers. Now, MashaAllah, the Memon community of NMJ Hall have allowed me the use of the premises, which every Tuesday I conduct at NMJ. And MashaAllah, since Ramadan I started, and I got a quite a substantial, right figure, Zakir? Substantial for, and there's also facilities for ladies as well. Salim Para could remember when I was in Mia Bank, 10 Para in 10 years, Salim. Salim, kabhi aya, kabhi nahi aya. Kabhi ayyob aya, kabhi nahi aya, you know. It was there. You want the takers. Then I left Mia Bank and I started again in Asheville for ladies only for 10 years. And the house where I was having it, unfortunately, the lady passed away. And my tafsir also passed away. 10th Para again. And this year in Ramzan, when I went to NMJ, the Mufti Bank used to come before. He was talked over the air we should hear. So this Ramzan when I went, there was no atmosphere. The Qadi was tops, but there was no atmosphere. Something was missing. That extra boost that you get after Tarawih was lacking. So I took the initiative and I asked one of these Zakir's connection, you know, Mehman Bhai. I said, Bhai, you know, it is so dry here, man. Come on, can I wake your place up for you? On Murisan. So every night after that, little 10-minute talk on what was read tonight. And as we came to the end, I said, you know, gentlemen, I'm prepared to come back out of retirement if you prepare to give me your venue. And mashallah, I must thank them, Allah accept them. They gave me the venue. And we're back again. So Quran is you know, is my, what should I, you know, nice term to use. I got love for Quran, especially tafsir. I thoroughly enjoy it. So what happened as they're leaving Makkah Muazzama and they're going home, Allah sent Quran, Farah 26, famous ayat here in Salah. لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إن شاء الله آمنين محلقين رؤوسكم ومقصرين لا تخافون. Let me drink my tea. What does Allah say? Most certainly, O Nabi, the dream that you saw will come true. In fact, it has happened already. You know, we talk that language. Farooq, help me out, man. 100 grand I need. Mawlana, carry on, you got it. Well, you gave me nothing, you gave me. But you gave me that assurance. Done. Kaam tera ban gaya. So Allah is saying, it's done. It's going to happen. And how? You will enter, O Nabi, with the believers, inshallah. I like this line here. Allah is saying, inshallah. You must say, inshallah. If Allah wills, you will enter. And the condition will be, amineen, in total peace and safety, no harassment. And then you will do all the rituals of Umrah and muhalliqina ru'usakum wa muqassirin. Then some of you will shave your hair and others will, Malikji, this is it. And others will shorten their hair. And it happened. What happened? Next year with the benefit of the treaty, what happened? When they came to Makkah, now remember on one point, we'll learn on Maslaya. These 1,400 that missed the Umrah now, okay? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after getting them to slaughter the animal and cutting the hair, they all went back home. That's how you come out of ihram if for some reason you are prevented. You cut your hair, first you slaughter one animal and then you cut your hair, and then after that you owing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the near future, your near future, right, depending on your capability, ability, etc., etc., to come back and make qaza umrah. So the master goes home, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he comes back to Makkah next year, 7 Hijri. Now the last year's 1,400 plus another 600 total, 2,000 came to Makkah with him to perform Umrah. Now this is where we want to come back. When he came in the final Hajj, more than 120,000. He brought from Madinah Munawwara over 100,000. Okay? Now when he made Umrah, he's got only 2,000 and they all joined him in the Umrah. So the 2,000 is not good enough. Then you find him in Makkah. Makkah was under the control of the Kuffar Quraysh. 7 Khalaj, then come the 8 Hijri. In the month of Ramadan, because the treaty was violated by the Quraysh, Allah's Nabi brought a major army, 10,000 soldiers, and he captured Makkah. Then he goes to Taif. He conquers Taif. When he's coming back from Taif, at a place called Jirana or Jirana, when he camped there for the night, he decided, let me perform Umrah. So he put on ihram, made labbaik at Jirana, and then he came to Makkah Muazzama and performed Umrah. Okay? I'm sure you old people, Mr. Arbi, you heard of small Umrah and big Umrah. Ladies, you all heard. I'm sure you must be heard. Yeah, motto Umrah and nallo Umrah. Chota Umrah and bara Umrah. I used to always wonder, what is this bara and what is this chota? Is there such a thing? It took me a long time. And finally, I did find an answer. What is meant by small and big? It's not an Islamic Sharia ruling of small and big. This is something based on the deduction of Muslims, not ulama also. Public. How so? Like, see, now we are here in Makkah, right? Tomorrow, inshallah, after I speak just now, our good friend Mr. Malik and Fatima are going to go to Bibi Aisha's masjid, and they're going to put on the ihram for Umrah, and they're going to come back to Makkah and make Umrah, inshallah. I promise you, you're going to do it. I have full confidence. After I share something now with you, I don't think anybody going to be sitting here. I have this firm belief. I'm going to show you how, inshallah. You're just going to go. Now, Bibi Aisha's masjid is around the corner here. About 5 kilometers away, maximum. Jir Rana is about 20 km away. That means now, the Ihram point, shortest distance, Bibi Aisha's masjid, and the longer distance is where? Yeah. Allah's Nabi did not wear Ihram at Bibi Aisha's masjid. That place is called Bibi Aisha masjid. The area is called Tan'im. When Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had a problem when coming for Hajj, just outside Makkah she had a problem, which is a normal problem. And then she was unable to make Umrah because the Hajj days came weak. And Allah's Nabi told Aisha, now say new labbaik for Hajj. Take your ghusl and make new labbaik for despite her condition. And when they went to Arafat, now she was okay. Back to square one, and she made the Hajj. When the Hajj was finished, Allah Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Aisha, call your brother Abdul Rahman and tell him to take you to Tan'im, and there you make labbaik for your Umrah that you missed. So she went to Tan'im and she made her labbaik and she performed the Umrah. So Allah Nabi did not make Umrah from there. Where he made labbaik from? 20 km away. So there's your small Umrah and there's your big Umrah. Now you saw that. Unfortunately, because of the Saudi rules and regulations, we are unable to go now. But in the past, Mr. Arbi, your father's time, my grandfather's time, right? They will come here for, they stay here for 3 months, they'll come just before Ramadan, Shawwal, Zilqadah, Zilhijjah, and then Muharram, they're coming home. Average 3 months and 4 months they are spending here. So with so much of time at their disposal, they'll perform Umrah after Umrah, Motto Umrah, Nalla Umrah, because of distance. So let's come back. Allah Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now when he came for Hajj, we jumping from that Umrah, we went to Hajj now. When he came for Hajj, before he left for Hajj, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had now sent the command of Hajj in Islam, that Musliman, Hajj is now farz on you, you have to make Hajj. And finally, when the Master was preparing to leave sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent out messengers all over the length and breadth of the Arabian Peninsula, as far as Yemen. Inform the people, Allah's Messenger is going for Hajj this year, one. This is his first Hajj, two. This perhaps may be his last Hajj, perhaps. Doubt was there. What was the doubt? Let me share that with you as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent down all the laws, whatever they were. The only law missing was Hajj. Only one outstanding. And in the last Ramzan of Nabi's life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah sent one surah titled, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. I promise you, if I stake my life on this, none of you sitting here will be able to discover in that verse, in the short surah, what was the hidden message. You'll never do it. Unless you know it through some alif, otherwise on your own, I promise you, you will not see the hidden message in there. There was a hidden message which Allah Ta'ala gave to the Nabi. In short, what was the message? Hey Nabi, the time for your departure is now close. Prepare to leave this world, you're coming after us. Makra, you understood me? I don't want to go detail, that will take another hour. So, he sent message out. And then Allah sent Hajj command to... He said to the people, I am going for Hajj. First Hajj could be my last. I want everyone, every single Muslim, big or small, young and old, male, female, no matter what, everybody must join me in this Hajj. I am leaving Makkah 20th of Zilqa'dah. If you can join me here in Medina, meet me here. If you can't, on the way, if you can't, latest, where? Makkah itself. On the 26th of Zilqa'dah, on a Saturday after Zuhr Salah, 100,000 people left Medina Munawwara, all following Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. and they move and they come and camp at this place called Bir Ali, where we said our labbaik, Mr. Malik, remember? He camped for the night there, Asar, Maghrib, Isha, and next morning Fajr after sunrise. In the meanwhile, everybody was briefed that tomorrow morning every one of you must enter into Ihram. And they all started that. And just around 11 o'clock, this is my estimation, the whole procession now moves. But just before the procession moved, something very interesting took place. Hazrat Abu Bakr's wife, I think her name was Asma bint Umais, I think. She gave birth to a child. Where? Bir Ali. What does that tell you, Mr. Makhra? In this advanced state of pregnancy, she left Madinah yesterday to join Allah's Nabi. Can you see the importance that the place of Nabi's come? Everybody without fail must join me. So a woman in such an advanced state of pregnancy, she also left. And look at her luck. She left yesterday and this morning she gave birth. Now she wants to know, Allah's Rasul, what must I do? If the modern gynae was there, he'll say, Mr. Magra, take your daughter-in-law, keep her in the house now 6 months. Confinement, no traveling. Am I right? And if she's pregnant, no, stay at home, you can't travel. She is not asking him, what must I do in regards to going far? You know, our mothers, sisters, daughters, me and you, Magra, I'm guilty as well. We look for one doctor's excuse to stick to park. Come on, let's be honest. You know what the fatwa is. You come, Muni Sahib, now what must I do? You know exactly what you must do, but you want Muni Sahib to what? What? Excuse, if I have time, a few days time, remind me, I'm going to give you a really gory story. How I was almost trapped into giving one fatwa, but Allah is very kind. Because sometimes, Salim, they know exactly what the law of Allah is. But what they want? They want some Bodhisattva must give one sanction, so it's clear, I will say with you, and I'm not shy to share, in a few days I'll do it. But Salim, you won't be around. And it's a really gory story. You listen that, let's come back here. Now this woman is asking, what must I do? Not because you want to stick around. No, no. What Sharia rules apply now? Must I wear ihram? What Allah Nabi said, no, you say your labbaik. Make ghusl, say your labbaik, enter into ihram. And this woman with the newborn child comes to where? Makkah Mu'azzama. Of course she was unable to make tawaf, umrah, etc., etc. But just outside Madinah Munawwarah, before Bibi Aisha had a problem, and we saw how her problem was solved. Allah Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he enters Makkah Mu'azzama, now, he told the Sahaba Ikram, come and learn from me first hand, visually. Right? How Hajj is done. Now they're all watching him. So when he comes and stands in front of the black stone, what does he do? That's where, from here we went to so far, we came back here. What did he do? He stood in front of the black stone, about a meter or two away. And he raised his hand with the niyat, of course, in the back of his mind, I am about to make tawaf of Baytullah. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Right? And of course, he thought the woman, your hands will be raised up to the shoulders. He let the hands down and then he stepped forward. And the Hajar Aswad is slightly lower than your face height. Am I right? So he bent down and he kissed the black stone directly with his lips. Then he raised up his head, stood up, straightened up. And he began to move around. Subhanallah walhamdulillah. 100,000 Sahaba, Mr. Arabi, are standing behind him. Men and the woman is plus. The woman who must put plus here. Now all of them began, because what did he say? See what I am doing. So what did he see him do? So as he's moving around, each one is kissing and moving, kissing and moving, kissing and moving. So by the time he went around, came by Rukna Yamani, the fourth corner, he was walking very, very close, and he touched the Rukna Yamani with the right hand, and the Rabbana Akina fi dunya, Allahumma inni asaluka al-afwa wal-afiyah, And when he came back, by the Hajar Aswad, to turn around, to kiss it again, what does he see? Very few people had kissed and started tawaf, and there's a big queue waiting, and I will suggest maybe 95,000 are waiting there. So what does he do now? Does he go and stand behind the last person? Huh? No. So what does he do? He cuts through and he places his right hand on the stone, just the right hand, and he kisses his right hand and he moves. Then he's still up. So now those who are a bit of a hurry, like me, they say, well, he kissed the stone, he also touched with the right hand, so be it. So we got double action here now. Direct kissing and touching, and they're going round. So now, mashallah, bigger crowd is moving. When he came back the third time, so now double action here, now kissing directly and touching. So he had one asa in the hand. Now we will not do it, but I'm showing what he did. The way he directed that asa so carefully, touched the black stone, brought it back, kissed it, and he moved. Now that one there, we put it one side. When he came back the fourth time, now an asa, I don't know if anybody has used the asa, but the two was carrying on the double action. Now he stood some distance away, and he raised both the hand facing the palm towards Baytullah, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, kissed the palm, and he carries on. And this really spurred on speedy movement, and the Sahaba are now moving. See, okay? They move right on, and then we are told he completed the seventh round, the Sahaba completed that, he performed his mucha. When he finished, in fact, you know when he came for that Qaza Hajj, Qaza Umrah, I told you. When they performed Tawaf that time, then he asked, now he's asking the Sahaba, imagine, does he have to ask? No, but he's asking. He's setting precedent for future, tomorrow when he's not here on the surface, and if people have issues or what have you, then how must they address them? So he asked them, my dear Sahaba, can you suggest to me, we have to perform two rakat now to thank Allah for allowing us the privilege to make tawaf of his house. Now, where must we make these two salah? And different people gave different suggestions. But the suggestion that was most acceptable, not only to the Nabi, but upstairs, was the suggestion of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, where he said, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ Musalla. Ya Nabi, why don't you perform your salah, the two rakat, by Maqam Ibrahim? And Allah sent Quran in support of Umar's words. Okay? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood in such a manner. Listen very carefully. And I'm sure most of us can achieve that the way the conditions are right now. In front of you must be the Maqam Ibrahim. And behind the Maqam Ibrahim, the tawaf carrying on. And what's behind that? The Kaaba. That means now Allah Nabi stood sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a manner that dead center is Maqam Ibrahim and there's a Baytullah. And he performed two rakat salah. And of course the hordes of people also now stood behind him. Now in Hajj, now that time the hordes were only about 2,000. Now you got how many? 100,000 plus. Now you tell me what's going to happen here. So now when he came for Hajj, he said, listen people, although this is the best place, but the entire haram, right? The entire haram is that place where you can perform the two rakat. So lots of people, where they want to make the two rakat? You must come Hajj time, Mr. Magda, and see if you get placed there. The way you get knocked out, pushed out, what have you, the way you must come these days for Hajj, inshallah. Come now, in the near future, and you will see. I know once I came in 1993, my wife was there, my father-in-law was there, and mother-in-law was there, and somebody else was there, now they're all behind me, how it goes. We came from Arafat, Mina, etc. Kurbani was done, head was shaven, put our normal outfit, and like big deal, sorry, like what I said, big deal. We came down from the main Babu Abdul Aziz gate, we entered, we look at the crowd, now mashallah, thick. We just started, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And I think we moved a few steps, we got tucked out. You know the tidal wave throws you out. That wave tucked all of us out. We couldn't get back inside because we were in the wrong spot. We got chucked out. Then I said, you know what, let's go upstairs. We may fall off on the top. Okay, let's come back. skip all that Hajj. So let's come back to the issue of Umrah. We are now performing Umrah. People ask the question always, those who come for Umrah, what is the best action? The best action, of course, is Umrah. And some ulama say, no, you make only one Umrah when you come, but and spend the balance of the time making as much tawaf as possible. Because a person can make more tawafs compared to Umrah. However, Umrah is strenuous and Umrah is also termed as small Hajj. So it all depends on your physical and mental state of mind, okay, and body, whether you can or whether you can't. Now I move quickly to that one point which I said inshallah will prompt almost everybody sitting here to go make an Umrah tonight or maybe tomorrow, is the following. There is a kitab written by Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, which is in my hand right now. In there is a story about a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is informing us that I performed many Hajj in my lifetime. And one year I decided this particular Hajj, the entire Hajj I must make on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At this point, let's pause for a moment. Look, Allah's Nabi doesn't need anything from me and you. You know, when Allah is sending yusalluna ala nabi all the time, that is ours. When we make darood and salam on him, we are benefiting. How? Man salla alayya wahidatan sallallahu alayya ashara. One who sends one darood upon me, Allah will return that 10 times. Listen very carefully. Allah will write 10 good deeds in his favor. Allah will wipe out 10 of his sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate him 10 degrees. So who's benefiting? Me or him? He don't need it. But it's our token, our appreciation of love, which we are trying in our small way to show towards Nabiyya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that action. When you do something on behalf of Allah, He loves it. Now come back here. This man is saying, I performed many Hajj in my life. And I decided this particular year, from the start till the end, this whole Hajj exclusive for Allah's Nabi. Now how is that? How is that done? I'm sure you guys heard the term Hajj Badal, you heard? Where you make Hajj on behalf of somebody else. So what this man did, at the Mikat, after making ghusl, wearing the haram outfit on, he performed his surah ka sunnat al haram, he made the niyat for Hajj Umrah, whatever it was, because it was tamattu Hajj, I suppose. So he made niyat there now, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, English, on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the full objective was every action of Mahajna, my tawaf, my safa sahih, everything, all the reward which Allah will give me credit for, it must all go to Allah's Nabi. This Hajj, Allah mustn't write my name. Whose name? Allah's Nabi's name. Okay? Carried out, went to the motions, came Makkah, all the motions now, went to Mina, went to Arafat, went, came to where? Muzdalifah, came back, Mina, did all the rituals there, tawaf, ziyarah, the works, he's back in Mina. Now the back in Mina is just 2 or 3 days, right? Once you finish your tawaf, ziyarah, Hajj is now finished. That Mina and Jamra is all extra, so now he is there. So he's telling us, when I was there, now in Mina, I saw a dream. I saw in my dream Nabiyya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At this point, learn something else. Open the books of hadith and you're going to find this. Allah's Nabi himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if anybody sees me in dream, you have seen me. If anybody sees me in dream, you have seen me. Because shaitan can never impersonate me. Remember that. Okay. So, Allah's Nabi appeared in my dream, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to me, and this man's name was Muhammad also. He says, Ya Muhammad, you made Hajj for me? I said, yes sir. You made Labbaik for me? Yes sir. That's not the question is asked. You made Hajj for me? Yes. You made Labbaik for me? Yes. He said, well, for what you have done for me, I will most certainly repay you for your action on the day of Qiyamah. Who is saying that? The Master himself. Hey Muhammad, I will repay you for what you have done for me. Now just pause for a moment. That 5-day exercise is no joke. And especially when you're making for the master, how much of care you're going to take? Lot of qurbani, lot of mujahada, yeah? And the man succeeded. And now you see the result of his action. That the master is so pleased, that you have done hajj for me, you made labbay for me. Ya Allah, I can only repay you for your action on the day of Qiyamah. Now this man is all years, how will he? Did he have that intention in his head? No. He had nothing, just my Nabi for him, my love for the Nabi. So he says, I will repay you Qiyamah day. How? On the day of Qiyamah, I will hold you by your hand. Salim, sunu akhya sayyya. I will hold you by your hand and I will lead you into Jannah while the entire mankind will be waiting to be called to give an account of the action. Believe you me, Salim Parak, when I was near my Imam in that, you know that 1980s, and when I gave this talk in our masjid there, several people took the initiative. They didn't tell me they're going, but when they came back, they told him, Mawlana, what you said that time inspired me, I went and came with. In the hope of what, Malikji? Who's benefiting? Is Nabi benefiting? No, at the end of the day, you benefiting. Ke tera kaam ban jayega akhirat mein. Now you and I, maybe we cannot afford it. We are right now where? In Makkah, we right now came to perform Umrah, mashallah, theek hai? We have some time at our hands. AR Khan believes. What does he believe? If Allah gives you the topic, maybe today, maybe tomorrow also, if what I said made an impact on your heart, you say, Ya Allah, I cannot repay the master for all you have done for me. At least as a small token from my side, let me adorn the haram, they be ready, Bibi Aisha's masjid, and this entire umrah, let me perform this to the best of my ability, right? Directing the entire action and the reward to Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If I don't cash in the first prize, at least what I want to get? The second prize. And even second prize is great. But remember, we were matlab, and we are all matlabi guys. But you look, the reward will come. But at least in your heart, make your mind feel, I want to do at least something. And I cannot right now in this Mubarak city of Makkah imagine anything more greater than this one. And if you don't have that physical, mental sense to do that, then by all means, when you go to make tawaf of Baytullah sometime, before you start, Kaji, what am I saying? Before you start, stand there, get your mind right, Ya Allah, this particular tawaf, I am going to perform on behalf of your beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whatever I do now, all the good that comes out of Ya Allah, I know nothing, you give the whole lot to your beloved Nabi Muhammad, and inshallah we'll score there as well. Is it not a fact, every year we hear thousands of people when Qurbani time come, what do they do? Yes or no? They slaughter for him. Millions are slaughtered throughout the world. This one here, Allah's Rasul. This one here, Allah. Yes or no? This is a small way of showing their love, right? And the azmat and respect and appreciation for Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us topic. Yeah, so many things to talk about. I'm going to spend 10 minutes today. Yesterday I got tired, so just 10 minutes today. I made some notes. But I think we need this part inshallah for tomorrow, where I had history of the Baytullah. So Mr. Malik, you asked me the question the other day what to do. Now I think at least you can do that. Okay. The Umrah story, let's go back another one point. If you can, Allah give you tawfiq, go and do it. If you find that hard, make the tawaf. Now similarly, we can do on behalf of near dear ones, living and deceased. Now, you know, we love a lot of people, am I right, Salim? We love a lot of people. Big list, you know what, I don't think I got the strength and the stamina to make so many tawaf. What do I do? Then look at that. One is to make a tawaf or umrah behalf of one individual. And the other is to go there and make the tawaf or the umrah for yourself. Okay? When you finish now, if you make umrah, after you cut your hair, finish. Go in the haram, raise your hand, Ya Allah, I perform this umrah. Accept it from me. And whatever reward you're going to give me, Ya Allah, here's a big list here, share it with all those people. Simple. Ya Allah, I made this one tawaf here. Accept from me, and Ya Allah, the tawaf, whatever is here, share it with you. with whoever. And you know something, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially when it comes to Musalman, He's got for us reward beyond imagination. I gave them this story there in Medina, and I'm going to share with you all those who are here in Makkah. When I took them to Baqir the day before that, I said, see, Allah Nabi Muhammad taught us, if a person recites one time Qul Allahu Ahad, one third Quran. So it simply means what? Three times you get a total Quran, one third, one third, one third. And Allah Nabi taught us, when you go to the graveyard, then the least you can do is recite Qul Allahu Ahad 11 times. How many? 11 times. And Al-Hakum Al-Takasur one time. And ask Allah to accept your recitation and give the reward to all those in that Qabrastan. Ladies can do that as well from home. Alright. Then we find in the Mishkat Sharif, this kitab that we normally study in the ulama course, in the section of disease and reward. Now the teacher who taught that particular kitab in our time, he got for us a story there. The story is becoming quite a bit. He said there was a person, saintly person, traveling on a journey, and he stopped for rest under one tree. He saw this one Qabrastan there. He looked at the graveyard, Musalman Qabrastan, and he was inspired to read Qul Allahu Ahad one time. How many times? One time. And he said, Ya Allah, whatever I recited, give the reward to these people. Now while sitting over there, he dozed off. He dozed off. When he dozed off and he woke up again, so it seemed, all the people in the Qabrastan, the graves are open, and everybody sitting outside in the coffins, and they're making one for you, one for me. That's the famous Bari Biscuit advert. They're making one for you, one for me. All are sitting on... Now, imagine if you have to go to a Qabrastan, now if you were fast asleep somewhere, right near Qabrastan, and you got up, and you saw the scene over there, all are in the coffin sitting outside, what are you, and the graves are open, what are you going to feel? Come on. Nahi, Qayamat aa gaya bhai. This Qayamat day Allah Ta'ala says, what does he say? What the ayat goes? Apala ya'lamu idha bu'athira ma fis. How it goes? Doesn't it? Allah talks about people coming out of their graves, and there is Qayamat day. So he thought, hey, Qayamat already. Because sleep is like that. Is it Qayama? They say, no, not Qayama. Then what are you guys doing outside? Listen carefully. One of the persons said, hey, you know what? Last week, a person went by and he read Qul Allahu Ahad one time last week. And he asked Allah to give us the reward of that one Qul Allahu Ahad. From last week till now, we're still sharing the reward of that one Qul Allahu Ahad. Can you understand? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very generous. In fact, my ustad taught me this. Mawlana Masihullah Kharamatullahi Ta'ala Ali. And others were also there. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like me and you. If I say, Salim, share this 100 bucks with people sitting here, what you'll do? You'll count 10 guys, 10 bucks. 20 guys, 5 bucks. Yes or no? When you say, Allah, I got this 100 bucks here, share with these people, Allah will give each one 100. Allah's treasury is boundless. So if that one tawaf you made, this, Ya Allah, whatever reward you got for me for this tawaf, Allah give all these people, Allah will give each one. Yad Rasna. My ustad taught me this. So there's a lot that we can do, inshallah al-Aziz, and to benefit others as well. And don't forget, there's a lots of dua that we can also make whilst we are there. And I think, the time is up, man. One of the best places to make dua, will be tomorrow again, inshallah al-Aziz, is... by Hajar Aswad and Rukne, Multazam. What? Multazam. I'm going to share with you an amusing story, it's real, which I learned around the year 1974. My one father's connection from India came, Sheikh ul Hadith Mohan Ahmadullah. You likely won't remember him, won't even know him. Arbi, naam suna hai. So you are a young man, so you won't remember. I'm old, buddy, 75, so I'll remember. Sheikh ul Hadith. And he gave this story in South Africa. And I'm a lover of ulama. Why I got that machine, Mr. Malaybi? Huh? I got tons of recordings of a lot of ulama. So this man, One day in his bayan, he was talking about love for Allah. And how to learn about love for Allah, one of the people that can teach you love for Allah is Leela Majnu. You know Romeo and Juliet, where art thou Romeo? Romeo, eh? So this Leela and Majnu, some other time, but I want to share one thought with you. You know the story of Romeo and Juliet, eh? Rival, etc., etc. Leela Majnu, same thing. When Majnu fell in love with Leela, and night and day is making what? Layla, we make Allah, Allah, he's making Layla, Layla. And the two families are enemies, just like that Romeo and Juliet. In fact, Layla, Romeo and Juliet is a con job. Shakespeare pulled the job from Layla Majnu. Just made some changes. In India, they say, oh, William Shakespeare, Musalman tha. How you know? Uska naam tha Waldimia Shakespeare. Alright. So, Mawlana Ahmadullah, I must substance what I'm saying. I'm going to quote some big alim, right? So you can quote Mawlana Khan here. He said, when the father came to know that my son is so obsessed with this girl and that too enemy, my enemy's daughter, my biggest enemy, you know the thoughts used to come out. Even the servants were enemies. What must I do? And normal happens even today. Munisa, my son in love with this girl, I don't like this girl, my daughter love with that boy, Munisa, given tawiz. Famous story. Barabar. So they tried all the tawiz under the sun, not one working. Imagine a guy making Layla, 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 right on the name everywhere. When you are lighting it, now you are still lighting it. Salim? So right over there, Banu, 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 eh? That's why right over there, Zakia, 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 eh? And I'll write Aisha, 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 all over. So, father went to all the Mudi Sahib, they said, bhai, kaam nahi banta. So one bright spark, Alim said, bhai, listen, your son is beyond, kya kehte hai? Give me that one word. Not control, beyond help, incurable. His obsession with this girl is so deep. Only Allah can remove the love from his heart for that girl. This is Mr. Majnu's father. I'm advising you, take your son for Hajj. Listen carefully, Malikji. Take your son for Hajj. And finally, when you enter Baytullah, when you finish, remember you'll be in Ihram. You have to make Umrah first, right? And Hajj afterwards. When you finish your tawaf of Baytullah and you complete your two rakat, wajibut tawaf, then bring your son by multazam and tell him to repeat after you, O Allah, remove from my heart the love for Layla. Okay? And when he repeats that, be assured, uske dil se Layla ki muhabbat nikal jayi. Hey, father is very happy, mashallah, at least I found a solution to my son's problem. Not my son, my problem. His. So mashallah, you know as Yemen, eh? The story is from, it's a Yemeni story. All the way they traveled, they came Baitul, now they're standing by Multazam. Right, my son, repeat after me. Oh Allah, remove from my heart love for Layla. Son reply, reacts, Oh Allah, fill my heart with love for Layla. Father gave one back and come back up, nalai, bas, shaitan, you know, jinnas, you are nas, all my effort down the drain. Just Allah removed the love for this girl from the father, so he had no love first thing. Allah filled up the heart of Majnu with the love for Layla. That's it. Wow. I am not saying this, Mawlana Ahmadullah, Rahmatullah Ali, passed years ago, great Shaykhul Hadith. He was teaching us how we can bring love for Allah in the heart. So he says, here is a man obsessed with a mortal, with a mortal, so obsessed. Instead of being Allah, Allah, what is he doing? Layla, Layla. Layla. And he goes by Multazam and Allah listens to his dua, although a wrong dua. But Allah heard his dua. Surely when we go to ask the right dua, why can't we go there and say, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbaka. Oh Allah, we ask you for your love. Wa hubba rasulika. And Allah, we ask you for the love of your Rasul. And وَحُبَّ how it goes? اللهم إني أسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقرب إلى ربك. Oh Allah, and give us love for such actions that will bring us close to your love. We can do that there. Can't we do it? After tawaf, after two rakat, get there. That is the place. in the whole Baytullah, that is the most important place. Allah's Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand and cling to the Kaaba, sorry, cling to the Multazam. It's a very small area. Now unfortunately Malaysia, when we go there, there's guys there, I don't know from where they import from China or where the super glue, they stick like glue, they don't move from. So what we're going to do, Malaysia, we go stick behind them. So simple. We go and stick, not you ladies now, we the men. For you ladies, all the senior ulama say, you stand far from the madding crowd. You don't go rough shoulders there and bring guna on your head. You stand there and you look at the Multazam, you must say, Ya Allah, Moana Khan said, don't go near Multazam, I'm not the rough shoulders with the men. Allah, you must accept my presence there while I'm standing. Yeah. And give me what you promised your Nabi. I am not going to break your rule and your Nabi's teaching and go there rough shoulders. Khuda ki qasam, Allah will fulfill your wish. And one more advice, finally and we end. I know people love to kiss the black stone, and my one fellow delayed me there, you know, I won't take his name. You know, we searched for this character, one couple for half an hour, we can't find them. Up and down, kiss the ground, look in this side, we can't find them. This Kara, I don't blame them, Salim, because they were so enthusiastic, ne? Must go kiss the black stone, okay? But as long as you don't go and knock people and hurt people, and in the rush you get hurt, don't do that. Salim, I make a confession now, you can record it. I have come here several times. I tried and I did not succeed. I did not succeed. He knows best. But I take consolation from what? Whether you pointed your two hands or whether you kissed it, directly both are equal. Who said so? Qala Rasulullah. I'm a fellow short tempered. I'll punch my fellow this side, that side. So I rather stay far. Allah Nabi told Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Ya Umar, you don't knock people with your shoulders. And you know, just to keep the stone, don't do it. So we're trying to abide by that. For today we end the bayan, inshallah, we shall meet tomorrow, same time, same place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept me, accept all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our stay for the next few days a stay that will benefit us all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our presence here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to derive the maximum from this Mubarak place. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.